1 Chronicles 21, verse 1, Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number or take a census of Israel. In the parallel record in 2 Samuel 24, verse 1, we're told that God was angry with Israel. God was angry with Israel, and he moved David to number Israel. So the numbering of Israel was part of God sort of being angry with Israel. I think that what that means is that he worked through this to punish Israel. Because in Exodus 30, we're told that there was nothing wrong with having a census. The point is that they had to pay half a shekel each for their atonement money. And if they didn't, they'd be struck with a plague. Now, the upshot of all this is that the census is taken, and then there is a plague upon Israel. Quite clearly, they hadn't paid the atonement money. And I think that's why Joab is really unenthusiastic about doing the job. Because I think he knows that, look, they're not all going to pay their atonement money, so there's going to be a plague upon them. This isn't a good idea, David. It's really not a good idea. So, God, as it were, brings this about. And yet it's because he is angry with Israel. He stood up against Israel. And here we're told that Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Well, in 2 Samuel 24, it was God who moved David to number Israel. Satan just means adversary. There is no cosmic Satan. If you've not considered that before, have a look at realdevil.info. A few more thoughts of mine there. The idea here is that, okay, the Lord moved David against Israel, 2 Samuel 24, 1 Chronicles 21, Satan provoked David to number Israel. So whatever the Satan was, the adversary, it was under God's control. God is 100% powerful. And Satan just means adversary. And men can be adversaries. Remember Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Peter, you are a Satan, you are an adversary unto me. Get behind me, Satan," is "get behind me, Peter." Simple as that, because he was against Jesus. "Have I not chosen 12 of you, and one of you is a devil?" Jesus said, talking about Judas, a false accuser. So, what actually happened here, I think, was that there was an invasion, or a threatened invasion. Some army stood up against Israel, the adversary. And this provoked David to think, "Oh, I reckon we're going to be attacked by that enemy, that adversary, that Satan. Let's take a census." But the Lord worked through this. The Lord moved David against Israel to do this, because it was his intention that David would take the census, they wouldn't pay the money, and therefore they would be plagued. And yet, was David right to number Israel? Well, no, he wasn't. It was a trusting in human strength. And yet, I think another way of putting this, when we're told the Lord moved David against Israel, he overruled it, that this Satan stood up, this adversary, and provoked David to do it. This would be another way of saying it was of the Lord. Now, David didn't do wisely here. He feels very bad about it in his conscience, but I think it is true that he didn't do wisely. He should have trusted in God and not numbered Israel. It's a bit like trying to tot up every little bit of money you might have in every little bank account and thinking, "Have I got enough for this, that, or the other?" And, the battle is not to the swift, the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong. It is all of God's grace. Now, this is the same David who has written Psalm 33:16, "There is no king saved by the multitude of a host or an army." And yet he clearly is at a weaker point at this time. You can compare David's confidence statements in the Psalms against his own behavior at times, and you can see that, like all of us, he was on a high level and then he came down to a lower level. But through that weakness, God worked. As I say, he was angry with Israel. God was angry with Israel, and he wanted to punish them. And so he gives this thing to them. Because this is why verse 3, Joab says, "Why will you be a cause of guilt for Israel? He can see that they're not going to pay the money they're supposed to pay to the sanctuary when the census is taken, and they're going to get plagued. And this is, of course, exactly what happened. Now, if the sin was really David's, well, David would have been punished. But verse 7, God was displeased with this thing, therefore he struck Israel. So the sin was with Israel, and when God gives David three choices as to what the punishment is going to be, he says, oh, you choose, well, God chooses the punishment upon Israel, the plague. And you've got to factor in 1 Kings 15, verse 5. David did that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh and didn't turn aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except only in the matter of Uriah. So the matter of Uriah was the big sin, as far as God was concerned, and indeed it was. But David feels here, I have sinned greatly. I have done very foolishly. Well, I would say this was unwisdom. Yeah, it was unwisdom. But he was not breaking the law. This is the whole point. This is how God was working through it. That God knew the people weren't going to pay the tax they're supposed to pay at the time of the census, so he was going to bring a plague on them. Because he wanted to judge Israel. Something was wrong with them. And yet David takes, it seems to me, false guilt. He feels that it's all his fault. I mean, understandably, it was unwisdom. And yeah, sure, he should have lived on a higher level of faith when this Satan, this adversary, whoever it was, an enemy on the border or whoever, when they arose, he should have trusted in God and not numbered his money, as it were, numbered what he had, numbered his resources. But it was legitimate and allowed to do that. And yet the people had to pay the tax. Well, there is such a thing as false guilt. And you can feel guilty before God for that which, in fact, you don't need to feel guilty for, or do I say it, not feel as guilty as you feel. If you're, for example, involved in a car accident and somebody is badly injured or even killed, of course you're going to feel very bad about it, when actually it may totally not have been your fault. And yet the family of the injured person, or the hopefully not, but, you know, deceased person, will put all kind of guilt on you. Society will put guilt on you, police will twist what happened, that you were guilty, blah, 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 to the point that you made her feel guilty. And if they'd have been at the wheel, they'd have done the same. Absolutely. And it was one of those things. It was an accident. But, you know, so you can have false guilt put on you. And yet there's true guilt, because we do actually sin. And we have to take that guilt as we should, and yet we often don't. We often assume that our wrong things are actually not very wrong or not wrong at all. So you see, the problem is that there is true guilt and there's false guilt, but it is pretty much impossible, I think, by any conscious intellectual process to divide up within our own minds, well, what's the false guilt in my life and what's the true guilt? I don't think you can consciously do that. What you can do is to believe that Jesus is the guilt offering, that all that guilt, but be it true guilt, be it false guilt, is all dealt with in him, that we are in Christ and we stand approved before him because we are in him. And there is nobody, Paul says in Romans 8, who can bring any accusation against us because we are in him. Now, of course, we do sin. That is not to say we are not sinners. But by status and by self-identity, we are with him. So, the other thing I think you can do is to remember the lovely words of Paul to the Hebrews, that the conscience is cleansed in Christ. And ask Jesus to cleanse your conscience. Pray with David, search me, O God, and know my heart. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Show me my real sins, Father. Show me my real guilt. And I think, as I say, here with this numbering of Israel and them getting punished for not paying the temple tax with the plague, I think you do see David taking a fair bit of false guilt. As I say, there was unwisdom there, and there was living on a lower level of faith than he might have lived on, but my judgment is that he took false guilt. And that is how we all go, because, as Paul says, I know nothing against myself, but I'm not thereby justified. You can have a good conscience about something and you still be wrong. You can have a bad conscience about something that you actually don't need to feel bad about. There are other biblical examples, I think, of people beating themselves up over what they didn't need to. And there's even more examples of people not beating themselves up at all over what they should have done. So it's a case of recognizing the fallibility of our own self-examination and self-knowledge and asking God's help in all this.